Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Deere's third quarter profit fell 15%, and the farming equipment maker believes that the same weak sales at home and abroad will cut into earnings for the year. Deere earned $850.7 million, or $2.33 a share, for the 3 months ending July 31st. That beat expectations of $2.20 per share, according to a poll by FactSet. A year earlier, the Moline Company earned $996.5 million, or $2.56 per share. Deere & Company now anticipates a 2014 profit of $3.1 billion, down slightly from its prior forecast of $3.3 billion. Equipment sales are expected to fall about 6% for fiscal 2014 and drop about 8% for the fourth quarter. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 107,600 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the 14-15 marketing year. Also flying out the door this morning is 130,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 14-15 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 16,597. It's up 37 points. The NASDAQ is trading 4406, up 17. And the S&P 500 is 1939, and it is up almost 6 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Weather conditions across the Midwest will stay mostly ideal over the next 2 weeks. We will see a good mix of rain and sunshine occurring across the majority of the region. For the most part, we're going to find relief to the areas that have been driest for the longest period of time, which includes northeastern Iowa, southwestern Wisconsin, southern Minnesota, and northwestern portions of Illinois. These areas are likely to see some significant rain coming in three different waves over the next full week to 10 days. The first disturbance is expected to occur this coming weekend, and we'll look for a follow-up system occurring early next week and one more in the second weekend of the two-week outlook. Overall, there should be enough precipitation in these areas to favor a boost in soil moisture. Rain totals over the 7 days ending at this time next week will run anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to 1 3/4 inches across these drier areas. Additional rain will be possible. Now, for the rest of the Midwest, a good mix of rain and sunshine will occur. Portions of central Michigan and Kentucky will probably not see very much rain, but all other areas will see at least 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch, and from northern and central Illinois to northern Ohio, we may see 7-day totals running from 3/4 of an inch to 1 3/4 inches there as well. Our temperatures have returned to a more normal range. We're expecting to see daily highs running mostly in the 80s over the next 7 days, with a few lower 90s possible in the southwestern Corn Belt. We'll also expect to see the low temperatures at night to run mostly in the 50s and 60s for a little while, but eventually 60s will become more the rule with a few lower 70s. And in general, we're expecting to see not only the Midwest benefit from this weather pattern, but a big part of the Delta and the southeastern states will see good conditions as well. Only the southern U.S. plains will see a net drying bias. We'll likely see the northern and central plains seeing a good mix of rain and sunshine, and the same will be true for parts of the Canadian prairies. Some of the most interesting weather that's going to be occurring around the world right now includes a big rain event for portions of Australia's key winter wheat and barley producing areas, as well as some of their canola country. A significant rain event will get underway here tomorrow and continuing into Saturday, bringing significant relief to an area that was expected to suffer from drought because of El Nino. But the El Nino event has been so weak that it's actually allowing this rain event to take place, and that's going to be a big boon to Australia crop weather. And you've probably heard about too much rain falling in parts of Europe recently. That is going to draw to a close by Saturday of this week with improving weather thereafter. Well, back here at home, we still expect to see a good environment for weather across the majority of the Midwest, and this will be true again for the next 10 days. The longer range outlook doesn't seem to suggest any significant ridges of high pressure building up across the region anytime soon, and we'll likely see a continuation of well-timed rainfall and seasonable temperatures still supporting a very good crop across the majority of the region. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stewart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stewart-peterson.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat. 6.15 3/4, up 2.5. Now it's up 2. December, 6.28 3/4, up 2.25. Soft September wheat, 5.41 1/2, up 3.5. December, 5.54, up 2.75. September corn, 3.57 1/4, down 1.25. December, 3.67 3/4, down 1.25. March, 3.80 3/4, down 1. May, 3.88 3/4, down 1.25. July, 3.95 3/4, down 1.25. August soybeans, 12.86 3/4, down 3.25. September, 10.95 1/4, up 1. November, 10.57 3/4, down 1.75. August soybean meal, 4.04, up 3.80. September, 369.20, up $4. September soybean oil, 34.43, down 21. August live cattle, 149.02 1/2, down 60. August feeders, 214.70, up 15. August lean hogs, 114.37 1/2, up 30. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry, a risk management commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Okay, 24 hours away out from yesterday. About what are the takeaways?
The takeaway, first off, was the surprise in the decreased carry-in for corn yesterday. It seems that there were still some discrepancies as far as production assumptions or demand assumptions from last year's crop. Following that, you know, maybe a lot of the trade rhetoric suggests that we're going to see higher yield expectations in subsequent reports. But given the maturity of this crop and the slow pace that we're on, we're kind of keeping that as far as a little bit of a question mark. I don't know that we've got the big yield punch that some of the guys are thinking about.
Yeah, in fact, that's an interesting thing that you said, because when you look at what USDA estimated the crop at, 168.3,
yep,
that was below the low end of any estimate that was out there.
I think that's exactly correct. And the market didn't really respond in a positive way, but you didn't go lower either. And I think realistically what we're probably poised to do, especially from a technical perspective, is the charts are trying to telegraph a little bit of a basing pattern. That doesn't give us much of an upside objective, but it does mean that maybe some of the more bearish rhetoric or more bearish news has been discounted. And right now we had 10,000 contracts, maybe 11,000 contracts traded overnight, which suggests nobody's going to press the short side given these numbers, but nobody's going to really rush in and buy it because, you know, it's like a 900-pound gorilla in the room. A 14.5-15 billion bushel crop just isn't going to go away real fast.
In fact, I wonder if the low side that we made yesterday might hold, at least pending the Pro Farmer Crop Tour later this month.
You know, the Pro Farmer Crop Tour may have some influence, but I would say that those very well could hold until we get a much better handle on the yield expectations, possibly even getting into harvest. Because our expectations right now is that the basis may start doing some of the more heavy lifting once again. We've seen the futures market pull down dramatically from the highs we saw last year. Maybe the futures market has done its job, and now we're going to watch some individual cash markets express their opinion, whether it's going to be the ethanol grind, the livestock producers, or some other facet of the industry express itself in the basis rather than in the futures market.
So if the basis is going to do some of the heavy lifting, do you think there, as we get closer to the harvest, there is some upward basis possibilities, a basis play, if you
will. Yes, indeed. I think realistically, two of the things that we've been thinking about is if the harvest is going to be late, which we think that the maturity factor is in play, then harvest is going to be a little bit later, and the supplies are probably only 30 days, given what the USDA has said our carryout is. If we get 15 days late on harvest, you know, get into mid or late October, then there's going to be some scarcity in some of the cash markets. So, yes, indeed, I think that's important. The other thing I would say is if guys have contracted corn, what we would suggest is possibly considering selling across the scale and filling your cash contracts a little bit later on in harvest.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace, September corn, 357, down 1.5. December, 367 and 3/4, down 1.25. March, 380 and 3/4, down 1. July, 395 and 3/4, down 1.25. August soybeans, 1287 and 3/4, down 2.25. September, 1094 and 3/4, up 0.5. November, 1057 and 0.5, down 2. August soybean meal, 404, up 380. September soybean oil, 3442, down 42. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.